conoscenti. Translation, Circle. Okay. We are starting the Bhatti in terms of preparing to invoke Baba and be with Baba. Whether Baba comes down or whether we go up, same thing. Even when Baba came down into the physical dimension, at that time, if our consciousness wasn't up above, then people would be saying, oh, why can't I sit there? I should be there. Why is so-and-so sitting here? And so those games went on. But if internally the soul was up above, then the seating didn't matter. And you could experience Baba's presence. And in every single meeting with Baba that I've been in, Baba's been up above and pulled us up, and Baba's given us the feeling of his presence in a very, very powerful way. So I'm sure that your tapasya now is going to help you prepare for that. And I don't think you got a translation of the song, did you? But you kept hearing this word, tapasya, tapasya. And so, yes, it was all about tapasya, but just a few words that I remember from the lyrics. Tapasya makes you sweet. Tapasya makes you divine. Tapasya fills you with divine virtues. Tapasya is the transformation and makes you an angel. So all the things that happen through tapasya. Tapasya makes life beautiful. So many things about tapasya. And you must have been intrigued by the title. What are we talking about? Bricks and buildings? No, we are not talking about physical structures. But the word bhatti, furnace. Baba always uses this term for the days of Karachi. For the days of Karachi were the time when everyone was in the furnace, the bhatti. And of course that tapasya continued through till Mount Abu also. So the 14 years were first in Karachi and then in Mount Abu. And by then, some of the bricks, when they came into the challenging circumstances of Mount Abu, you know the challenges, there was very little food available. A big family of 300, where are you going to find the food to feed them? It's just after the partition war. And so for a time they lived only on pumpkin. Morning, afternoon and evening. But Baba gave them recipes so that it was always interesting to have pumpkin. And of course when they left Abu to go on service, they missed Baba. But they knew that it was time to share the message, and the power of the bhatti, the power of the furnace, gave them the power in the drishti, so that when they looked at anyone, people could feel that these are not ordinary people. These are special beings who have come from another planet. And that was the start of service through drishti. But it was the power of tapasya that they carried with themselves. And Baba uses this term that in the furnace, some of the bricks came out very, very strong, and some of them are still here with us, the dadis, Ishu Dadi, Ratanmoini Dadi, and of course the two dadis, Dadi Janki, Dadi Gulzar, but also Dadi Rukmani, Dadi Kamalmani, a few of them. And you can see that these souls are really the foundation of the yajna even today. So strong in their dharana, their commitment, their love for Baba, their yoga, their purity, you name it, and you see them, the embodiment of those qualities. And yet, out of that furnace, some of the bricks came, and when they left the bhatti, they crumbled. They weren't able to withstand the pressure of lockings, of family, of all the things that Kaliyuga is about. Even though Kaliyuga wasn't so bad in the 50s, but still, compared to that enclosed environment of tapasya, it was still very different. So, we're talking about the soul being the brick, the support for the foundation of the new world, the golden aged world, and the support for other souls, Brahmin family and out there. So the question to ask myself is, how strong am I? Can I withstand all the pressures that are there out there? Am I going to change my principles, my disciplines, my timetable for the sake of what's going on out there? And I say, well, it was fine in Abu, but it's not so easy to do all this out here. Or am I going to be a strong brick? And the building we're constructing is the new world. Not just one new building, but a whole new world. Baba uses two terms for building Satyug, the construction of the new world. Baba says, the work of establishment of the golden age happens through yoga power, and secondly, the power of purity, and both of these happen on the basis of Srimat. Following God's instructions, then we have the capacity to have that quality of yoga, and with our yoga power, we're able to have that stage of purity which Baba would like us to have, so that truly it is the foundation of the golden age. And all of this happens with Srimat. So the more deeply I understand Srimat, today Mama's Moli was very beautiful, because the first point was interesting. Mama didn't begin with telling us the first point is knowing God or knowing the soul. She began from a very different perspective. She said, the first point to understand is who is teaching me. And so yes, I've had Gyan, I've understood soul, I've understood God, but now when it comes to creating a building of character, in English the word is character building. They always talk about character as the building. And so the building we're constructing is not just the character of one individual, but the transformation of many, many souls, so that a whole new world can be built. But it depends on character. And so at what point is it that I deeply understand and accept with my heart that it is God who is teaching me? The more respect you have for your teacher on a Laukik level, and the more you value them, and the more you love them, the easier it is to study, and the easier it is to follow their instructions. Otherwise, the intellect is constantly engaged in a tug of war. My teacher is telling me this, but my mind and my feelings and my desires are telling me something else. And so it's very interesting, Mama saying, the main thing is to know who is teaching me. And then many other things, of course. But I'm seeing how, in terms of being able to follow Srimat, this is the important factor. Who is giving these instructions? And when I understand that, then yes, my heart will say, This is what I want to do. And Srimad can't be followed by simply following instructions from outside. Srimad can only be followed when it's from my heart and I accept that this is what I need to do to make my life elevated. The word Srimad is beautiful. Sresht, Sri, Mat, instructions. The most elevated instructions. And so, the instructions of human beings are going to be very different to the instructions of God. Now, to follow the path of purity, not a single prophet soul, even prophet souls, they haven't told us to do that. Buddha followed the path of purity, Shankaracharya followed the path of purity, Christ followed the path of purity, any number of these people followed the path of purity. But they didn't tell their followers, this is what you have to do. A handful of them decided they would follow in the footsteps of the founder, but that was a handful. It wasn't a message for the community. And here, Baba's message for all of us is, whether you live in a center, whether you live at home, you live in a bhavan, wherever it is you live, the path of purity is the way to reach your own elevated deity stage. And so, on the one side, becoming a brick that is strong myself, and on the other side, supporting others who are also bricks, so that together we can create a fortress in which whoever is inside that fortress is able to remain safe. And they say that the wall is only as strong as the weakest brick. Because if there's a weak point in the wall, that's where the storm will attack, and there'll be a hole, and from one hole there'll be many bricks falling down. And this is exactly what happens in the Brahmin family. If we can support each other and keep that fortress strong, then everybody is protected. And if we say, well, I don't care about so-and-so, and that one individual feels neglected, gets disengaged, disaffected, and then, for whatever reason, falls away, steps away, then the ripple effect on many others is quite visible. So our responsibility is first to the self, and secondly to each other. And yes, if I'm fulfilling responsibility to myself and to others, I'm following Srimad. So my responsibility to God and being able to fulfill that promise to God is happening automatically. So the quality of the brick depends on my recognition of God and my ability to follow Srimad. And that's going to determine my quality of yoga and my quality of purity. Yoga with one. I'll tell you the Hindi expression because it's very nice, it's not difficult. Yog and sayog. Sayog, cooperation. And so yoga with one and cooperation with all. My yoga, Madhuban's, offering us the opportunity to be free from all mundane tasks. You don't have to shop, you don't have to cook, you don't have to wash up, you don't have to clean. What do you have to do? Just be a student and a yogi. Study. Study and enjoy and have fun and play and dance and enjoy life with God. So there isn't another place in the world like Madhuban, We have big retreat places here and there, but Madhuban is Madhuban. The power of yoga that's been accumulated, not only in Pandavavan, but here also through all the years and years of thousands of Brahmins doing tapasya, makes it a very different place to the world out there. So Madhuban is not India. India is different. Madhuban is the subtle region, a place which is home, a place which is filled with God's love, a place which allows you to enter your own subtle consciousness in a very natural and easy way. So take advantage of it. And so let the brick become very, very strong. We're not thinking about the world out there, but we know that however much power we allow ourselves to absorb in Madhuban is the power that's going to keep us safe out there. So like today Baba said, every murli is an instruction for the day. So today's instruction, just as there is a light shining in your eyes and light in your eye can't be separated, so let there be God in your heart so deeply that nothing can separate you from God. And what I found is that if you start the day with gratitude, now here's some interesting homework to make you a very, very strong brick. Write 100 points, and it can take you 3 days, 4 days, it's fine, but keep adding to it. Write 100 points of gratitude. What it is you have to be thankful for. And it's everything in your life. It can be from childhood till now. Just think about it step by step by step. How much do I have to be grateful for? That's the first step of the homework. There's a second step. And in that first step, it's everything, laukik, alaukik, physical, spiritual. I'm grateful that I get good food. I'm grateful that I get clean water. It can be as simple and as basic as that, but 100 points of gratitude. And then, morning time, again, first thing in the morning, preferably before Amrit Vela, and it'll make you more alert for Amrit Vela, because to get the machine going is good. 10 points for today, and again it can be general things, laukik, alaukik, physical, spiritual, whatever. So 10 things that I'm grateful for my life. The homework at night, again 10 points, and you mustn't repeat the points you put in your 100 points with your 10 points every day. And put a date on every day so that you don't skip a day. And I'll tell you how to make it more simple also in a minute. But at night, wind the tape of all that's happened through that day. And very specific now, not general. What is it that happened today that I'm grateful for? So 3 separate things. And the 100 list, you can keep adding to it. And of course, the sooner you complete it, the better it is. But take 2 days, 3 days, whatever. And then the morning one, and then the evening one. Why? Because how much of our time do we work on a conscious level? 10% for Laukik people, for Brahmins 20%, 25%. But the rest of the time, it's the subconscious that's driving us. Why am I saying something? why am I doing something? It's not always the conscious thought. 75% of the time, or maybe 80% of the time, it's being driven by the subconscious. And so to do this homework of gratitude at night, especially for whatever the day has taught you and brought you as a gift, means that I think about it, I write it down, and I'm filling my subconscious with goodness. And during that period of sleep, when there is none of the conscious, it's all the subconscious that's operating, it's the goodness that will protect you through your period of sleep, just in terms of energies. And it's subtle. It's not anything physical at all. You're in a safe place, so it's nothing to do with external security. But what are the vibrations I am generating? Be very pure, good vibrations, because my mind is now in a conscious way focused on goodness, gratitude, appreciation, which is akin to love. And so I'm focused on those good things. And so if my last thoughts are of goodness in a very positive way, then when I go to sleep and the subconscious and unconscious take over, what I see in my dreams is goodness, the energy I'm radiating is of goodness, and what I'm drawing to myself is also the energy of goodness, of Baba. If my mind is in a jumble, what's going to happen during the period of sleep? I'm going to be drawing mixed energies to myself. And it's not very useful. It's not going to be a good sleep. It's not going to be good dreams. It's not going to be waking up fresh. So many things can happen. And again, as soon as I awake, setting the compass straight on the track of goodness is a very effective way to be able to have good Amrit Vela, but also to be able to keep myself on that track through the day. Try it sincerely, not because I've suggested it, because you feel it'll be a good thing for you, for your benefit. Try it even for 8 days, and you'll see the difference it makes. It'll help you enormously, and there'll be an amazing energy field around you that will be filled with God's love and magnetism, so that you're drawing goodness to yourself wherever it is you go. It's going to make the brick very strong. And of course, when Baba says, fill yourself with such a state of contentment that you've taken everything that Baba's giving you and you've prepared yourself and you've made yourself very, very content, satisfied. Because what I've seen is that old sanskars manifest in two situations. One, when we are tired. If you want to see the snappy side of a Brahmin, see them when they're busy, 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 and intensely busy. And then you'll see other things come out. Totally unintentional, but they haven't yet been cleared. They're still there. And that's when the defenses are down and they come out. But the other is when you're discontent. If I'm discontent with my own effort, And usually the starting point is this. And then of course we point the finger out there and say this one, that one, the other one. And all sorts of things can be very valid. But it's not really this one, that one, and the other one. The starting point was my discontent. And then if they did things like this, I'd be unhappy with them. If they did things like this, I'd still be unhappy with them. And so that's the way it goes. And if I'm content, whether it's this way or that way, it doesn't matter. It's okay. It is as it is in the drama. It's okay. But I'm content inside. And then no complaints. Today Baba connected contentment and no complaints. And if there's no complaints, then I can become complete. Baba plays not only with the Hindi language, but also with English. So just remember, complaint won't let you be complete. And when complaints finish, then I can be complete. And if I'm honest, then I can see that my real complaint is about myself. I'm not content with myself because I'm not doing what it is I'm actually capable of. And it doesn't matter whether I'm number 10 or 110, but I should be able to come to the stage where I say, I know I've done my best. I've really done all that I can in the best way that I know how. And then I'm content. But I know there's laziness, there's carelessness, there's excuses, there's external vision instead of internal vision. And so all these other things then come up. Discontent, and I'm discontent with everyone around me. And also Baba had very clearly said that if I say, well, I'm fine, but other people are saying, well, not so fine, things are not quite right, then it's my job to look and see what is it that I need to sort out and put right, so that then the certificate that I get from others is of contentment. And it's not how much you do, it's what you are. And if I can't do very much physically, externally, it's okay. But at least I can sweetly smile and very humbly say, sorry, but I can't. Instead of snapping at them, why do you ask me? You know I'm so busy. Both is no, but one is no filled with respect, and the other is a reaction out of my discontent. So I'm not in charge of the way I'm thinking and feeling and speaking and doing. And so I'm definitely not at that stage of self-sovereignty. And earlier I spoke about cooperation. What is the cooperation that Brahmins need? They don't need gyan, not from me at least. Why? They've got the muralis, they've got the classes, they've got the jewels, they've got the portal, they've got everything. They don't have enough time to take it all in, mostly. But okay, the murali has everything. So even if I don't have time for all these extras, I have time for the murali. That's absolutely the foundation, and that's fine. But it means that every Brahmin has gyan. Murali is part of their life, otherwise they wouldn't be here. And so what gyan am I going to give them? Here's somebody who isn't doing as they should. And genuinely, it's not just my perception or my vision. Things are not right. They're not doing as they should. But what is my cooperation at that moment? Not to give them gyan, to sit them down and say, this is what Baba said. They know what Baba said. But it's to give them subtle good vibrations, to give them the support of good wishes, it's good for me because I'm following in the Father's footsteps. God is the benevolent one. The word Shiva means the benefactor. Just imagine, the word Shiva actually translated means the seed, the point, but also the benefactor. So God's name and God's task, God's role, is in this one word, Shiva, the benefactor. The one who has no concerns for the self at all, because he is complete, doesn't need anything from anyone, anywhere, not even my help. God will say, yes, give me your help, but it's to create my fortune. It's not for him. It's for me. And so, to what extent am I learning from my parent? In days gone by, people used to learn literally at home from their parents, a little bit of schooling, a little bit more schooling, but mostly if they were doing a trade, they would learn from their parents. The children of the gardener would learn how to garden and pick up all the tricks of the trade. The children of the jeweler would learn about jewels and all the things that they need to understand in that. So it was a natural training and gathering of experience and expertise, and the skills grew, and that's what you did. Baba's doing the same with us, teaching us every step of the way along the journey. And then Baba uses different instruments along the journey. Yes, the murli has everything, but sometimes a word from here, an example from here, something from there, and you learn, you learn, you learn, you learn, and you keep going on. And if I'm learning how to give benefit to others, well, Baba says, first give benefit to yourself. Okay, I have to make myself complete, so to check and change. But benefit to others, if I'm giving straight gyan to Laukik people, maybe they'll understand, maybe they'll accept, maybe they won't. But if I've practiced churning and imbibing and following gyan, there'll be something in my life that can inspire them. Baba would say to double foreigners early days, when you go to work, it's not just to earn money for your livelihood. Yes, your money is precious and it'll make the center function, but the purpose of actually being out there is, how many people come to a center? A few, a handful, a few times a week. And how many people do you meet when you go to work? A huge number. And it's not just the people you're working with, it's the people you see every day on your journey to work. You and a number of others catch the same train, the same bus every day. So you meet the same people. And they're watching you, they're observing you. You're observing them, but they're observing you. And they're learning from that. And so, from the moment I step outside Baba's house, whatever it is I've learned, am I giving benefit to others through my behavior? And the cooperation and the benefit given to Brahmins? My good wishes. To see and not see? I see something. Now what am I going to do with it? Am I going to let it sit in my head and create a problem inside? Shouldn't be like this. Should not. That critical noise that goes on inside is destroying my strength and my happiness. First thing. Before I've said anything, before I've done anything, it's robbed me of my happiness. And then I say something, well, the pollution is spreading. My happiness is gone, and what am I doing to another? Taking away their happiness and distracting them away from positivity to negativity, and so further away from God. And if they then speak about it to others, that sin also comes on my head. And so it becomes a very dangerous situation in which there is no more the fortress. The fortress is being weakened by negativity. And on the other side, I see something and I say, let me send them good wishes. There's an issue that they're dealing with, whatever it may be. There's something that's not quite right. But this soul is Baba's child. And probably, if I'm seeing them on a daily basis, I've seen that they've done good things for Baba also. Whatever is the one wrong thing I've seen yesterday or today, but they've done a dozen good things. And so that practice of seeing goodness and writing it down, you can see how this is going to change the way in which I connect with the Brahmin family around me. And I'm talking about the Brahmin family especially for two reasons. Our expectation of the Brahmin family is very high. Whether I'm following Srimad or not is one thing, but I'm expecting everybody else to be following Srimad. Why aren't they doing this? This is what Baba said. Why aren't they doing that? So expectations, and especially if somebody's longer than me in Gyan, then the expectations go up with each year and more with every decade. And yes, long term in Gyan means you've learned many things, but it also means that you're still dealing with sanskars. You're not perfect yet. And so if somebody's expecting me to be perfect, they're going to be disappointed. And there are no pedestals. And definitely, just see them as Baba's child without expectations. And the second thing that is the irritant in Brahmin life, you're seeing souls who are sorting out their karma and their sanskars of 2,500 years, 63 births. It's a lot to be sorting out in one birth, and not even one full one birth, but a fraction of one birth. And so you see eruptions happening here and there. And especially because it's now not just the end of the kalpa, but it feels very strongly that it's the end of Sangam Yuga. Sangam Yuga is the end of the kalpa, but it now feels as if it's the end of Sangam Yuga. Do you feel that? Who feels that we're coming to the final phase of Sangam Yuga? This is not to scare you, but just articulating the feeling that most people have. Why? Because the dadis, we are seeing them less and less available. At the moment, Dadi Janki would have loved to come up to see you all, and she's been coming up and down the mountain seeing all the different groups, but at this point she's out of action. And I think this is the fourth or fifth day that she's out of action. But Hans is convinced that she's going to get better, she's on the mend, and she's going to come up on the 7th. So she said to me, 6th is a bit difficult because 6th is the next day after Baba and lots of Bharatvasis wouldn't have met her, so there'll be like hundreds. When Hansa calls the groups in, it's like hundreds. And then after that, on the 7th, Daddy can come up and meet you all. So that's the score that somebody who was with us morning, afternoon and evening is now only able to be with us once in a while, and that's okay, that's drama. We're grateful that she's still here. We're grateful that just her presence is able to remind us of Baba, of truth, of goodness, of love and purity and all the other things. So, the availability of dadis is one factor. Baba Smriti's, Baba reminding us that it's the year for closure. Baba doesn't use words lightly. And it was a very distinct word, Smapti, which literally means the end, finish, closure. And then if you want a softer translation, then it means completion. But, and that's also a correct translation, but closure, completion. And so Baba's giving us not just subtle signals. This is not a subtle signal, it's a very in-the-face signal, very strong signal, that you don't have infinite time. You have a very limited period of time. And so what I'm seeing is that within this last final period, where you do see explosions come up here and there, it's because it's the last clearing, the final period. And so at that moment, what am I going to do? Am I going to criticize and say, they shouldn't be doing this? Or am I going to say, I understand. And there, but for the grace of God, go I. I don't know what other stuff I'm carrying that I haven't settled that's going to erupt at any time. I don't know. So let me just give good wishes and the support of my good wishes again to help that individual to come to their own awareness and realization. A very interesting thing that Thaddeus told us about is how if I'm having waste thoughts about another, I'm creating karma with them. And so my karmic negative karma, my karmic connection with them is getting dense, it's getting thick. But also, that he's told us, here's an individual who feels that they're being criticized, and of course the wave of criticism has spread from one to another, to another, to another, and so they're surrounded by that criticism. Their reaction is either going to be aggression, things are going to get worse, or they're going to withdraw, and the wall will lose that brick. Very dangerous. But if they feel love and support, that's going to at some point make them stop and think, what is it that I need to do for myself? And so the vibrations of good wishes, of that pure love and support, will help them come to a state of realization, and through that realization help them move forward. And so the cooperation that I can give to the Brahmin family, especially where I see that things are not going so well, is my good wishes in Baba's loving yad. Not out of attachment or out of pity, but no, because I'm a child of the benefactor, and so that's what I need to do, give support in all directions. And so in this way, what we can do is to make sure that we're doing what we need to do through Srimad, but also we're doing what we can for others around us, so that the fortress is being created which has the power of love and respect of each one. And so each one supporting the other with that is going to make the wall very, very strong. And so the building is going to be a strong, sturdy building. I've spoken mostly about the state of criticism or good wishes, because this is very much part of the subject of purity. There was a very beautiful murli a few weeks ago an Avyakt revision course, Murli. And in that, Baba took up the subject of purity in a very intense way. But essentially, that stage where the soul is very clean, Baba used a few words that were very interesting, linked together. I'll tell you the Hindi words. Shuddh, clean. And then, Baba used the word saf, saf. Saf is clean. And shuddh is also clean. But there's a difference, very interesting difference. Clean and clean, so what's the difference? And then Baba used the word honest, sachai, and then Baba used the word pavitrata, purity. So, four distinct words. So the first step, just to clean. So to clean my heart, I have to clean my sanskaras, and that's through yoga power, yoga bhati, so that the good sanskaras emerge and the bad sanskaras are settled until the next half kalpa. But after that safai, then shuddhi. And at that time, Dadi was well, so we asked her, and she said, if a room is clean, it's good, you're happy to be in that room. If a room is dirty, you don't want to be there. But there's a clean room. But then when you say that this room is very pure, shuddh, what that means is that there's something special in the atmosphere. The atmosphere is very clean. It's not just clean on a physical level, but it's got that sparkle of cleanliness which has been created by the atmosphere that's been generated there. And so in terms of the soul, yes, I've cleaned out the bad feelings I had, the bad memories of pain and the complaints I had about you, that's gone. But now, with yoga, there's a sparkle that's there. And then, yes, when I'm clean and I have that sparkle of yoga, that vibration, then I can be really honest. Honest with myself and thereby also then honest with others. And then I'm moving in the direction of total purity, in which not just mind and heart and intellect are clean, but my sanskaras are being cleansed also, so that that divinity of the angel, the divinity of the deity stage, is really visible. And that's the stage of purity that Baba wants us to have. So building Satyug, it's not by giving speeches, it's not by external things, it's through yoga power and the power of purity, so that we lay the foundation of the golden age, the age of truth, through our truth and purity. So the bhati is to be able to become a strong brick, but to become so strong that A, you carry that sparkle of yoga, but also then you're able to support others around you. And together we come to that stage of completion where the world can see that yes, the power of purity is visible, and the power of purity is the message for the new world. The message is not a message in words, the message is through our life. And so, becoming a good brick and being part of the creation of that character building for Satyug is the purpose of this bhati now. Enjoy yourself and let Baba give you lots of love and joy in the subtle region. Om Shanti.